that's a valid way of looking at it. You know, I think compared to the recent way I've done that in Afghanistan, which is much more like where I'm not that interested in photography. I think here that I was trying to establish myself with a photography aesthetic is partly it. You know, I knew I was like, you know, I was working in a medium that was competitive, that was, we were told to have a certain type of style, and, you know, I was working in a medium format, and that was done because it brought, I thought the part of the story about, when I first started working in Liberia, I was working black and white. I then, instead of you make a direction, and then you correct your course, you know. So then I was like, I didn't want to work in black and white when I just looked at the fact, well, if this is about communication, 95% of stock sales were in color. So I was like, well, if I want to reveal what's happening in Liberia, I need to work in color, just on a purely rational way of communicating to people. So I started working in color. Then I was like, well, if people are working in 35 mil color, like all the wires are working in 35 mil color in a certain way, in a certain aesthetic, but if I work like that, my work's going to get subsumed into that. So working in a war in medium format, both harnessed color, and also the medium format would harness the textures and colors of Liberia, which I felt were a very important part of the story. You know, when people say, well, it's just black and white is a way of representing the story, color is a way, but none of the color is part of the story. And I felt, say, in the images of POW, all the kind of blacks of the suits and stuff, that you could harness that. And I felt that the square format really stood against the 35 mil being made by the wires, and so put my work in a different place, and that therefore it made it more recognizable and more able to be more sellable, basically. I mean, that's what I'm doing, I'm making money. So that's one thing. Also, I think with the pop art side of things, you know, yeah, I mean, one thing is that I think that, well, I wonder if the aesthetic got in the way in the end. I think in the Afghan work, where there is no, I don't care about the camera and I don't care about, I mean, I'm working within aesthetic, I understand that, but in the end, especially in the work that talks about more male sexuality and stuff, it's much more just the work. It's not, there's not really an aesthetic that comes, overpowers the work. Maybe sometimes here it overpowers it a bit. Also, I think that with the range of characters that I have, there's another thing, when you talk about pop art, I was more thinking like there's a kind of, Liberia for me was a bit like a comic. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a way that it was larger than life. I've worked in over 30 African countries, and Liberia's history and what happened there is so larger than life, it was almost like a comic. I don't know how to understand it in a way that, you know, some such things were happening there that it was very difficult to understand them. And by having an aesthetic, it was almost like pop art, larger than life, with these characters, you know, downstairs, in general, but naked, these people. It was like a kind of way that I could put it somewhere that I could try to understand it. You know, Joshua Bly, General But Naked, said, you know, in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearing, said, you know, I killed 20,000 people, personally. That's a really strange thing to try to digest. Like, how is that, you know? So I guess that the aesthetic and how I put it together with characters where it is larger than life is a way that I was trying to digest that. You know, in a way that, say, in the wires, we don't digest it anymore when we look at wire photography, a lot of it, that aesthetic is. Thank you.